The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, people are always divided into two camps. You either love spice or you hate spice. But are we looking at spicy food in the wrong way? Are we too binary about it? My next guest thinks that we are, and I'm delighted to say that I'm joined in the studio by chef and spice guru from Green Saffron, Aaron Capbill. The last time we met, Aaron, you were giving me very spicy food for our challenge here.
We were going in the chilli route, but then hopefully today this is going to be much more acceptable. It's a totally different sort of idea we're doing today. So,
and this is what you want to do, is to sort of convince us that really you don't have to be in one camp or the other camp when it comes to spice. Is that
That's
right?
Exactly it. Yeah, no, spices have been around in Ireland since the 1200s, and they're used more for medicine back in those days, and it slowly got into the diet like it did in the general Europe and the UK. It's just, I sort of see spices, I suppose, like people in the West might see them as herbs. So just flavourings. That's how I see spice.
Just to enhance the flavour of the food.
You're absolutely right. To bring out the nuance of, let's say, the ingredient, the protein, the carbohydrate, the vegetable, whatever it is that you're using. So I tend to work with spices to build up layers of flavour in a dish. And so for me, the beautiful, vibrant oils of spice is the sort of fundament of natural flavour. Mm-hmm. And it's trying to capture that fundament of natural flavour, the volatile oils in the food that we're eating.
So we have some gorgeous smells in the studio this morning as we're chatting. Take us through what you brought in.
Yeah, so I brought you a couple of dishes, which you might try, I suppose, at the end. But I've just got some spices there for you. That's the first one there. So that's an earthy one. And this is more cumin. So it kind of sits in the middle. Mm-hmm. It's between earthy and citrus.
I'm smelling it here. I have some of the cumin powder here. Is this just cumin?
That's just cumin in there, yeah. So it has an earthiness to it, but it has a little bit of a middle note as well. The lemony sort of note to it. The limonene is actually where it gets its lemoniness from. So we use that in both of the dishes, but much more in the first one, the potato, because potatoes from the earth, therefore use earthy notes. So I kind of think of a bass, mid and high. Used to be in the music industry. So bass, mid and high notes. So that's kind of somewhere in the middle, that one there.
Okay. And the next one along here?
That one might need a bit of a shake because that needs waking up, that one. But anyway, that's coriander. And coriander to me kind of sits on the top end. And coriander.
I chopped some coriander last night and my son came in through the room. I smell coriander. He just has an absolute aversion to it.
And was it the coriander leaf that you were chopping, as in the potatoes?
Yeah.
Do you know what it is? And this is, again, I was recently on another channel and they're saying, it's actually, there is a gene, not that it's a defect, but there is a gene that has now been identified as being not resistant to, but just not liking coriander. It sees it as soap or something. Something like this.
Right.
But I think it's only a smaller percentage rather than a larger. Yeah.
So what is this then? Dried coriander, or coriander seed, which has been crushed?
Exactly. Now, if you want to be really botanical, it's actually coriander fruit, because a fruit is the seed pod.
Ah.
So, and then you take the seed pod off and go. But it's we all know it as coriander seed.
Very gentle smell from that
really
one.
Really gentle.
So what are you using that for?
So lemony, again, really citrus. That's why anything that you kind of think of chicken or fish, coriander works very, very well with. If you want to go down the straight route, and if you want to start twisting things up, then just think lemon, how might you use lemon zest? Well, maybe think of coriander.
I'll use it in the same way.
Exactly.
Okay, this next one is a paler color.
That's a really pingy one. I call that the wrong.
What's this? Exciting.
Do you know what that is? You may not know.
I'm familiar with it, but I can't tell you exactly what it is. You'll have to tell me.
It's called green cardamom. So the queen of spices, yeah. And so it literally is about 500 grams that grows to any one particular plant. Karak chai, people might know as when they're in Dubai, if you ever go to holiday.
And when
Dubai,
you get them and you have to crush them, I mean, they're very handy like this in the powder, but when you have to crush them, they're really tricky, aren't they?
It is nice that, look, electric grinder actually works, because a lot of people will tell you, a lot of Indians particularly will be saying to you, oh no, get your pestle and mortar, you must, because it makes... Electric grinder is just perfect. And it actually, if you use an electric grinder rather than buying ground, then you're already a step ahead. Because keeping it whole for longer will keep the freshness, is the idea. Mm-hmm. So yeah, green cardamom, relative to black cardamom, same family, but this has a real sort of citrus, twisted menthol.
It's lovely.
Isn't it beautiful?
Lovely smell.
It's my favourite spice, actually, that and black pepper. And actually, they grow in the same region. Mm-hmm. So we get ours from a place called Aduki in Kerala. And so if it grows together, it eats together. So green cardamom, vanilla and pepper, beautiful combination. Because they grow together.
To use in what? What would you be cooking this with?
The great thing with green cardamom, it just travelled all the way up to Scandinavia. So there's so many, and stopping off via Europe. So in Scandinavia, there's so many different biscuits that I can't remember the name of. But there's buns and biscuits up there. And then you come into my sort of cuisine, Middle Eastern, Indian cuisine, Southeast Asian. It's using curries. Predominantly.
With chicken, meat and fish?
All types.
All of them.
Well, less so, actually, make a good point. Less with fish. But
it's overpowering, is it?
precisely that. That's okay. See now.
What's this one here?
So that's the first blend. That is my chana masala, my dad's chana masala. It's an Ayurvedic spice blend, meaning it's that has all these reputedly really good health-giving properties. So chana masala, chana is a chickpea, and masala just means spice blend. So in there, you've got two cumin, one coriander, one turmeric, one black pepper, and one salt. So you can't get that much easier than that blend, but it's earthy and just beautiful. And when it's fresh, as our spices are, it really has a lovely fragrance. And when you taste the dish, hopefully you'll really taste it throughout the dish.
Okay, will I taste it? Is it this one here?
Yeah.
Is this spicy now? Because I'm very nervous in your presence.
Good woman. No, it's chana masala. So it's a very, I would say, mild one. Mm-hmm. Now, there is ginger in the dish and added a touch of cayenne pepper for background heat, isn't it?
It's lovely.
And really chickpeas.
Nice. Now, there is a bit of heat in that. So that's probably just me.
No. You're absolutely right. So ginger is something we call in Hindi called Agni, or fire in the belly. So fire in the belly, ginger really helps digestive properties. So it's helping your gut microbiome. And all this
so
sort
good
of
for you as well, isn't it, ginger?
Very good for you.
Mm, that's delicious.
And also chickpeas as well, a good source of protein.
Now, I have another one here, which has lots of bits and bobs in there. What have you got for us?
So the first one, like I say, was all tangy and fragrant. This is more earthy and rich. So in here, you've got whole coriander seeds. You've got curry leaves, which is a beautiful fragrant leaf. And again, you've got the real sweet, earthy turmeric. Mm-hmm. If you get turmeric, it should be almost orange in colour and has a beautiful sort of sweetness to it. People used to call it the poor man's saffron. Well, it's simply not that. It's a totally different ingredient. And yes, now everyone's saying about turmeric lattes and all that, which is fabulous. And if it's working, great. At least it's introducing spices. But you know, you need to have 45 teaspoons a day of turmeric if you wanted to actually gain the curcumin benefits that we're espousing. So yes, it's healthy, it's good for you, and the more you have of it, the better.
But it's not going to change your life.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to change your life flavour-wise. Today, Claire, absolutely it is.
So what are you using this for then? Is this a base for something?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So this is a base for the Bombay potatoes that I've cooked for you there. Mm-hmm. Really simple recipe. It's just don't even bother boiling or peeling the potatoes.
Baby potatoes.
I've actually got baby just because they're around at the moment. Mm-hmm. They're great with new potatoes when the new ones come. There's a good bit of butter there, but we've only just heated it a little bit.
And do you fry off the spice and then?
No.
The great thing with this dish is
you're putting everything into your oven tray and just shoving it in.
Oh.
So it's chopping an onion, potatoes are going raw, and the spice blend in oil.
Mm, so tasty.
So you see how that works kind of really nicely, because you've got not only the cumin and the turmeric being earthy, but then you've got pings of whole cumin and pings of mustard seed. And, we're not allergic to mustard sugar. We should have asked, shouldn't we?
No, I'm not. Don't worry.
And Nigella seeds, kalonji.
But that's just like doing exactly what you said. It's just elevating the flavour.
This is the whole point. Irish produce is so beautiful. It doesn't need anything else going on with it. But every so often, it's nice to have a bit of a change, right? Because why are we cooking at the end of the day? To feed those that we love, you know, your friends, your family, and therefore nutrients. And so if you can enhance both of those, the flavour and the nutrients, so that your friends and family are eating more of the delicious homemade food you're making, then to me that's a good thing.
One more spice blend left to
talk
about.
Our family blend of garam masala. Garam in Hindi, hot. Masala just means spice blend. It's an all-purpose seasoning. So whereby most people over in the West might be putting salt and pepper on their meal, garam masala.
Lovely and peppery.
You're very
lovely.
No, you're brilliant. 17 spices in there. So we're a North Indian family. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of spices that we use tend to be more Persian, Northern Indian. So there's rose petals in there, there's green cardamom, there's mace, there's nutmeg. So you've got that perfume as well as the sort of rooted notes.
So this is like your family, your trademark family blend.
That's exactly what that is.
So nobody allowed to know how to make this?
Well, no, but there's a book coming out next year.
And what the secrets are in there, are they?
A couple of secrets are in there, yeah. No.
So again, talk to me about what you would use this for.
So garam masala is a finishing spice. So you might even put it on top of the chana masala, for example. There's two finishing spices. One is chaat masala, which is really tangy, and this, which is more perfumed and aromatic. Now, actually, because I used to be a pastry chef in Ballymaloe, and I was playing around with the afternoon tea biscuits.
Music business, pastry chef, spice guru.
Well, it's a bit of fun life, isn't it? Why not, Claire? So no, look, I made oatmeal cookies for Mrs. A that day, but I put some of my garam masala in it and she was blown away. Because I'm thinking, well, if you've got ginger biscuits and cinnamon snaps, why not garam masala?
Uh-huh.
And it worked so beautifully well because of the butter.
You know, when you mentioned putting this on top of a dish, do you not have to cook this off?
No, you see, there's the thing. So there's so many different myths, and just without, I could be here for hours and keeping it. But even there, you just mentioned about roasting and toasting spices a little earlier. No, see, if you roast and toast them, those base, mid and high notes that I've mentioned, you get all compressed into the middle. And that's brilliant for some things. But other things, you want to maintain the integrity and to keep all the different layers of flavour. So with garam masala, everything in there can be eaten raw, provided it's steam sterilised.
We have a lot to learn. Aaron, thank you so much. And that's fascinating. Thank you very much for coming in. Aaron, of course, from Green Saffron. And we have lots of nice things to eat, which we're going to do now. But we have to leave you. Thank you so much for listening this morning. You can listen back on anything that you might have missed on the Go Loud app. The team today, big thank you to Cormac McDonough on sound, producers Dee King, Helena O'Toole and Alex Russo. Research by David O'Connor. Our broadcast assistant is Anne-Marie Kane.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.